Verse number 19. I want to speak to you this morning on the condition of man. It's not a very uplifting subject, but we're living in a make-believe world. We're living in a time when man believes that he can make the world better. He can maintain it and take care of it. He doesn't need God, doesn't have to have God, doesn't need to believe in God or consider him. And so the reality is missing in our society. We don't live in a real world. Reality is this: a man cannot become a woman, and a woman cannot become a man. That's reality, but we're not living in that kind of a world. We're living in a depraved, fallen world. As a matter of fact, I want to talk to you on this morning on the subject of the depraved, fallen state of man. Luke, the 18th chapter, verse number 19. The Bible says, "And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good?" Notice, why are you calling me good, Jesus said, when they were calling on him and looking to him as a man. So what was his response? None is good save one. That is God. There's none good as far as mankind is concerned. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans 3rd chapter, beginning with verse number 10. The Bible says, as it is written, there's none righteous. Now notice this, no, not one. Now you think you're so good, I think I'm so good. No, there's not one of us that is. By the way, this is not me speaking. This is God. He said it. He said it. He said, there is none righteous, no, not one, concerning man and mankind. There is none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Did you seek after God? Those of you that found him? No, I didn't seek after God either. He sought after me. He found me. And thankfully, he cared enough for a wretch like me that he would stay with it to where that I'd come to my senses that he could find me. They are all gone out of the way. Now, that all means inclusive, everybody, every man. There's no man that's not a sinner. There's no man whose natural response is sinful. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. No consideration for their Creator. There's no fear of God before their eyes. No consideration. Look at Matthew 24 and verse number 37. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What was the condition of mankind in the days of Noah? For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. If this doesn't describe the condition that man is in today, you're not willing to accept the facts and reality. You're not wanting to live in a real world, but we must live in a real world. We're stuck with it despite the condition that man has brought it into. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans, the sixth chapter, beginning with verse number 5. Wait a minute. Genesis 6 chapter. Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse number 5. Now, we just read in your hearing concerning the condition that mankind was in when the flood was brought upon the earth. And here's the reality of it. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What do we got? You can't go two blocks without running into a porn store. You can't go two blocks without running into a pot house. You can't go two blocks without perversion or something. And I just was told yesterday or last night or something that right here in our community, they were showed a film or taught in a class of six-year-olds about their privates and how they would rub their privates and make them feel good. Now, this is reality. 6 years old here in Springfield. Now, you tell me that it's terrible that you bring these things out about us. But listen, these people are depraved beyond. We're an exception. No, wait a minute. We have that same nature they have. Amen. We have those same tendencies that they have. Right. We need to look, bring it home and realize that we might be informed, that we might live in a real world, that we might deal with that old nature of ours and help others in dealing with theirs and bring them to Jesus Christ so he can give them the power to deal with it and to overcome it. Yeah. It says, and it repented the Lord. Wait a minute. God was sorry that he'd ever created man. And as it was in the days of Noah, it is today, because we're living in the day of the soon coming of the Son of Man when he comes in the clouds of the air and takes those of his own out of here and relieves us from our old nature. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. You see, by the grace of God, with his help, when we're willing, we can overcome. We can overcome these things. But it's only through and by the grace of God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. As it was the days of Noah, so it is today. There's no place on this earth where there isn't violence going on. You say, well, in this great country of ours, Listen, in this great country of ours, we have people shooting other people in masses and everywhere. Listen, running over them with vehicles and first one thing or another. Well, tell me, listen, the Bible is up to date. And if we'll listen to what it's saying to us and understand, then we maybe will prepare by turning to God. And if we're already saved by the grace of God, that we'll see the need of walking a closer walk with God and yielding more to the kind of life that he'd have us to live, to where he can bless and relieve us from these things that are coming upon us. Man was so bad that God was grieved, and he was sorry that he even created man. Yeah, but I'm not. Yes, you are, because he says there's none good, no, not one. Fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. And if you're saved and have that attitude, you may need to check and see if you're really saved or not. And God looked upon the earth and beheld it was corrupt for all, or behold, it was corrupt for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. All flesh had corrupted his way. Look at Genesis 19. Genesis chapter 19 and beginning with verse number 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round both old and young, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door into them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Now listen, this thing here should make us sick at our stomach for the condition that Lot was in, a saved individual. He vexed his righteous soul, God said. Are we vexing ours in order to condone and to go along with and to? Yeah. We'll either stand against it or we'll fall for it or fall into it. I said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two. This ought to make us sick to our stomachs. We ought to be nauseated. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Even when they were blinded, they still continued on this despicable path. Their depravity come full to a head and showed the condition that they were in. Turned over to a reprobate mind, Romans chapter 1 says, void of understanding, no hope of turning. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides a son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. Listen, this should make us sick. But it also should make us look at our society and what's going on and the condition that it's in and the accepting of this and people doing like Lot did, and especially God's people vexing the righteous soul, condoning and going along with it and not standing up and resisting it. How do you do that? By preaching the truth, by confronting them with it. Had a couple of church members stop to eat a bite on the way out of town. Gave a tract to a young lady. Next day I got a call jumping on me about her condition. Why would they bother me? I said, they did with you just like they would have done anybody else. They probably didn't even know that you were of this kind. And we talked for 15, 20 minutes. Come to find out, she knew better, understood better, but she wasn't going to do any better. You see, wasn't going to do any better. And listen, her condition was not her fault. Yeah. Matter of fact, it was those who confronted her. But listen, I have hope, and I still pray for that young lady, because I have hope for her, because she could see and understand better. So hopefully then she's not turned over to a reprobate mind, and she'll come to her senses one of these days and begin to live life in reality and not try to make it up the way that she wants it to be or that others want it to be. This subject is hard for man to accept because it teaches that man can do nothing that is good, and man's false pride opposes this because it does not honor man. In order to get clear understanding of the subject, we must consider the state that God created man in originally. Now, I'm getting tired of people around blaming God. I'm getting tired of God's people even blaming God. It was meant to be. Bull. That's Calvinism. God didn't mean it to be that way. It's that way because of man's depravity. That's why it's that way. God originally created man. Look at Genesis chapter 1. And verse number 27, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Then Ecclesiastes 7 and verse number 29. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 29. The Bible says, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." God created man upright. God created man without sin. And man sought out his own way and created many inventions. It just gets worse and worse. God desires service of love and from choice, not a forced coming to him, and not a forced surrendering to him, and not a forced serving him. And sometimes preachers and churches get the idea they want to make people get their lives straight. You can't make... If you make them do it, they're doing it because you made them do it. They need to do it because they love the Lord and desire and want to do it. And by the way, if you don't want to, you can get your want to fixed by coming to Jesus Christ, repenting your sins, and by faith trusting him as Savior. And then if you'll submit to scriptural baptism, you'll rejoice and enjoy worshiping and serving the Lord. You know, we go to church. I have to go to church. No, I've never had to go to church. I went to church because I wanted to go to church. wasn't always that way. But when the Lord fixed me, I had a desire to go to church. And when I yielded to that desire, I go to church because I enjoy going to church. And when I'm traveling, I find another church of like faith and order where I can go to church when it's time to go to church. And if there's no church there, I don't go. Man transgressed. He fell from that holy, innocent state that God created him in. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed themselves fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God calling in the garden, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said unto him, Where art thou, Adam? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me. Did you catch that? Lord, it's your fault you gave me this woman. Now, we want to say he's blaming a woman. No, he's blaming God. He's blaming God. That's the order of the day in which we live. People want to blame God. What will be. Yeah, that's right. But God didn't predetermine it.
That's right.
He didn't preorder it. And we're talking about, Brother Austin's talking about the powers that be are ordained of God. Yes, he ordained governmental powers for the purpose of punishing the wicked, as he said. But listen, God does not put men up and take them down. He permits them to be put up and put down, but sinful man puts wicked leaders in. Yeah. Powers that be are ordained of God? Yeah. He ordered that system in order to accomplish that, that we might be free to do his work. Yeah. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 14. 1 Timothy 2 and verse number 14. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Adam was not deceived. The woman was deceived, but Adam wasn't. Adam was totally guilty, fully. Now, God gave Adam a choice. He gave you and I the same choice. And we followed Adam and did exactly the same thing he did. when we come to the age to where we had the knowledge of good and evil, to where we understood that we were naked, that we were sinners, that we were separated from God, when we come to that point, the Holy Spirit convicted and drew us, and when he did, we turned and we walked away. Sought out our own way. We're going to do it our way. One of these days, I know I'm going to face God, but I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to clean my life up. I'm going to do good. I'm going to be good, and so forth and so on. That gets you nowhere with God. It's not what we do, but it's what he's done. And he did it through Jesus Christ. And we must put our faith and trust in what he's done in order to have our souls saved. And listen, to be able to overcome this nature. What's meant by depraved or depravity? It's a total tendency to do evil. It's corrupt, wicked, sinful, bad. By total is meant the entire makeup, soul, mind, spirit. No part is untouched by sin. There is no good mixed with bad. No good mixed with bad. Man is a depraved sinner. No questions, no doubt about it. Look at Colossians 1 and verse number 21. Colossians 1 and verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have been reconciled. All men at one time were enemies of God. All men rejected him. All men turned away. We are not guilty before God, and we don't stand condemned because of Adam's sin. We are guilty before God and stand condemned because of our own sin. If you don't understand that, you need to get an understanding of it. Because that's definitely what the Bible teaches. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. Ephesians 2 and 1, and you hath he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sin. And then Psalms 58 and verse number 3. Psalms 58, verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Our nature. These little babies, as beautiful and innocent as they are, yes, they're innocent, but they're still sinners. We don't have to teach them to use bad language and be mean and selfish and so forth. They just do it naturally. It's their nature. It's their nature to sin. We have to teach them not to lie. We have to teach them not to use bad language. We have to teach them not to get involved in these things that hurt and that harm. Their nature is to sin. And listen, there's no exception, and we all were in the condition of being totally depraved at one time or another. Isaiah 64 and verse number 6. Isaiah 64, 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Listen, our iniquities, not someone else's, but our own, has taken us away. It's our choice. Listen, bad. We were enemies of God. We were dead in trespasses and in sins. We were estranged from God and unclean and filthy. A man in his natural fallen state cannot please God. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8th chapter. Beginning with verse number 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The righteousness of Christ imputed to us when he saves us. All men are sinners. All are going to pay the penalty. Either they're going to turn to Jesus, repent, and accept the work that he did to pay and the sacrifice he made to pay the penalty, or they're going to die in their sins and wind up in hell, or all of eternity they're going to pay. But one way or other, man's going to pay the penalty for his sin. He's going to pay the price or the cost. If you're here this morning, are you going to live and take this message as a reality? Going to live in a real world? Or are you going to live in a make-believe world? You're going to trust in the Lord and what he's done for us to make us right with God? Or are we going to take the way that man has laid out? You know, I like Southern gospel and I like country gospel songs. But man, I'm getting to where that I'm noticing, you know, when a song tells you that, and this is just that baptism washes away your sin, there's a problem there, no matter how good that song sounds. There's a message being sent. When it tells us that there's a mansion that has streets of gold, kind of hard to put streets in a mansion. That's a city that has streets paved with gold. I mean, and that's just a little small stuff. But that's what we have. Our society is being saturated with it. And if we don't watch it, we as God's people are going to become like Lot. We're going to accept this business. We're going to vex a righteous soul. Look what it cost Lot. What it cost him? Cost him his sons-in-laws and daughters. His wife, and had two daughters that were so perverted they bore his children. That's what it leads to. That's the condition man's in. We are not living in a beautiful powder puff world. This is the greatest country in the nation. At one time it was. You know why it was? Because it had a stronghold of New Testament churches. You know, the southern part of the United States was called the Bible Belt. You know why? Because the Bible influenced them. People knew the Bible because there was a whole bunch of Baptist churches, New Testament churches there that were functioning. But no more, because they've gone the route that Lot went. We must not. We must stand. We must teach our children. We need to raise them and nurture an admonition of the Lord so that when they get old, they'll not depart from it. We must fight for our children who are in the world. And that fight is not going to make us popular with them, because we're going to have to use the Word of God. And when we use the Word of God, they're going to get mad. You know, Jesus said he didn't come to bring peace on the earth. He came to bring a sword that would separate us from our children. Father against son, mother against daughter, and so forth. Sometimes husband against wife. You see? That truth is a divider, but it's also a conqueror. Because that division is not going to last forever. And if we continue in the Word and continue to use the Word, then we're going to see some results. But listen, as corrupt as society is today, how many are going to be given over to a reprobate mind before we can reach them? Something to think about. If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord as your Savior. You need to come. Repent of your sins And that simply means you're willing with all of your heart to turn from self and sin, or turn to whatever it is you're holding on to. And with all of your heart, trust in Jesus. With all your heart, reach out to him in prayer and seek him to save your soul. And when you give up, quit holding on to that old self, pride, and that sin. Quit holding on to appeasing God your way. Quit holding on to one foot inside and one out. Double standard, self-righteous individual. When you're willing to turn from that and really trust what Jesus did, when you reach out to him and your heart opens, he'll save you then and there. It's available to you this morning. If you're saved, you need to follow the Lord in scripture baptism, become a part of a New Testament church so that you can be confronted with reality. You can be confronted with what life is all about. And you know what? The way we're confronted is by the Word of God. And the Word of God has power. The Word of God can bring change. Lot forgot that. Lot just gave up. He gave over. He quit contending. Is that where we're at today? And no doubt he was afraid, because he wasn't very brave standing up to those guys, offering them deals. Oh boy, what a deal. Ought to make you sick. But that's where we're at. We're living in a real world. We might as well face it and deal with it the way it ought to be. And that's with this. Yeah, but I've presented the word to them over and over and over again. Are you sure? Did you present your opinion or what you know about the word? Or did you present really what the word preaches and teaches? God's people in the main, they know about it. They can refer to it, but they really don't know it. And when you know about it, you're going to add the teachings of man, your opinion, and how you feel about it. The only way you're going to present the pure word of God is get in there and find out and know what it teaches, and that's to be in the word daily. Yeah. If you're here this morning and you're resisting, you're not resisting me, you're resisting God. Let's stand. What shall we sing?
402.
Come to Jesus, face reality.